Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Sounds of the Living Water, Radio Show.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. Thank you, Father, for another day and one more day closer to the kingdom, we can say. I want to welcome everyone to the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Joe Vizier, a Community Ministries Bible Study class tonight. We are dealing with the last night of Black History Month. And we here at the Sounds of Living Waters been dealing with Hebrew Women History Month, Black History Month. So we've been dealing with just basically the sisters. I mean, you know, we had to deal with the brothers to get to the point, but, you know, basically we've been dealing with the works of our mothers throughout time, and that their conversations still run in the creation. And this last one is all about Eve, Genesis 3:16, and it's a reminder, you know, that even though all this is installed, because of sin, we got this issue, and that we got to be conscious of it. And this is the only reason why 1 Peter chapter 3 and 7 exists, and that's Genesis 3:16, and we're gonna get into that. Amen. So here's the thing: we're gonna open up and we'll pray, and then we're going to get started. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, for the light and blessings, because they see a light and kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and a faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and give them a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and a faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. So once again, this is we're still dealing with Black History, Black Hebrew, Hebrew Women Month, Black Hebrew Women History Month. And tonight we're dealing with all about Eve. I mean, you know, she's the mother of all the women that's in the creation.
So every woman that's in the creation have the ability to ascribe or to ascribe to Eve. That is to say, to become Eve, or to say, you know, to become metal stains, that's her. We don't look at her as we look at Sarah and Rebecca, but we should. We should look at her as greater than them. I mean, all of us are sinning and came short of the glory of God. You know, the book said there's not one that sinneth and doeth. There's not none that doeth good and sinneth not. But the point being is that this thing here about Eve, right? This woman here passed down through the gene pool some of the greatest attributes women can ever ask for. And this is that thing. So first, let's get into this. Let's go right into where we start all of it at. It's Proverbs chapter 7 and 4. And it's this. We ask this question. Say unto wisdom, thou art my kinswoman, call understanding. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. So, well, that's a no-brainer because bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, right? So we know she fulfilled that. Wisdom, understanding, well, of course you fulfill that, because if she don't exist, then wisdom don't exist, sister or kinswoman, or none of those things exist. So, no. She fulfilled Proverbs chapter 31. Who is a virtuous woman? He said, who could find a virtuous woman? Well, Adam didn't. God brought him to her. So she fulfilled these things as well, and virtuality was inside of her before sin. So she fulfilled this as well. Revelations chapter 12 and 1. And it says this: there appeared great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon are at her feet, and a crown of 12 stars. Well, she's the mother of us all. And she gave birth to Seth, who was the son of God, who gave birth to Noah. I mean, eventually Noah became his grandson, who also gave birth to Seth. So she covered this story right here. In fact, she's the progenitor of it. So, yeah, that's without a doubt. And finally, this one here and Psalms chapter 45 is what we compare practically. In fact, all of our mothers too, and we're going to compare Eve as well. And, of course, she fulfilled these things hands down. All the king daughters were honorable with honorable women. Upon thy right hand did they stand, a queen of Ophir. Hearken, O daughters, consider, incline thy ear, forget thine own people and thy father's house, so that the king greatly desired her beauty. He is thy Lord, worship thou him. The daughters of Tyre shall be with there with a gift, and the rich among the people shall entreat thee of thy favor. The king's daughters are glorious within, and her clothing is wrought of gold. Well, when the Lord asked Eve, what is this that thou hast done? She confessed. Unlike Adam, he blamed God and blamed Eve. But Eve confessed. So I will attribute her to this, because that would have to come from within, that you would confess something to that extreme or to that sting. So this is that thing. And he said this. He said, and her clothing is wrought of gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needleworker. Yeah, she's coming up in the first resurrection. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee with gladness and rejoicing. They shall be brought. They shall enter to the king's palace. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou makest princes in all the earth. I will make the name thy name to be remembered on in all generations. Therefore, shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Amen. Well, everybody know her name. And there are so many daughters that's named after Eve we can't number. So, yes, her name is remembered through time. So she will be in the first resurrection. That's not an issue. The question is that when sin came into the picture, you got this thing. Genesis 3:16. And this is what happened. You know, this is the reason why 1 Peter chapter 3:7 exists. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge and give honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. This is that thing. So here we are, right? Right here. Here we are. All praise to God. He's telling us to dwell with them according to knowledge. You see, this is that thing. So, what do you mean? As the weaker vessel? Well, if you're looking at Genesis chapter 3 and 16, if you look at Genesis 2 and 18, well, that's a contrast to Genesis 3 and 16, a deep contrast. You see? So let's look at that. Let's start this in Genesis chapter 2 and 18. And it says this. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. So this is what Moses is saying. This is the Lord telling Moses what he did. So he said this. He said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. So before Adam gave her the name Eve, he called her God, called her a help. And so these are the fruits of her spirit. That before he gave her a name, before there was sin, it was this. Help. Improve. Alleviate. Amend. Attend. Better. Cure. Doctor. Ease. Facilitate. Heal. Nourish. Relieve. Remedy. Restore. Revive. Treat. Advice. Aid. Assist. Available. Balm. Benefit. Comfort, cooperation, corrective cure, guidance, hand, helping hand, lift, maintenance, nourishment, remedy, service, secure, support, sustenance, use, utility, so forth. So that's what help means. That's what she initially, this is all the things that she was created before. Adam gave her the name Eve, or woman. So these attributes exist even to this day. They just an innate, you know, because it's a part of her makeup. You know, it's like a program that, you know, it was meant to be. So there's no getting around this. This Genesis 3 and 16, it's etched in stone, you know. And this is the likeness that God created the woman in, right? He said, a help me, right? And so we look at the word meet. And then we get into this. So we can, when we get into Genesis chapter 3:16, we see that there's a big difference. And there's something to overcome, and it's called flesh. It's called the spirit. He said, meet, fitting, accommodating, applicable, appropriate, conformed. You know, so she's going to be appropriate for you. She's going to conform into you, or that's if she's your wife, or if she loves you, or anything like that. Like, we're supposed to love God and things like that. Then we were supposed to perform into him, but obviously we didn't, because he looked at us and said, he looked for grace and he saw wild grapes, and obviously we didn't perform into him, you know, as a people, as a nation, so to say. The twos and fruits that did, you know, they're written in the book, but as a whole, we did not. So here it is. He's saying that she's supposed to turn into him or conform into him. This is why you see married couples, they start to look alike and become one people, looking like the same people and things like that, right? And then the children come through looking like both of them, right? They conform into each other. And then you have that thing bound by life. What do you mean conforming to each other? You can conform into each other so tough, so rich, that you can bind each other in life and in death. What do you mean? That when one leads, the other one follows. You know, that's a law. You know, we can read that a person's life can be bound in another person's life. And that if that person died, then that other person would soon follow. We can read that. In fact, do yourself a favor and go and read Genesis chapter 40, on the 49, you will see that conversation pop up. But anyway, so this is that thing. So, yes, he will be conformed there, like we will be conformed into him, you know, eventually. Like he said in the beginning, he said, I make man my image, my image. But eventually, we're going to be conformed into his image, if so, if it's his will, so to say, in the first resurrection. The second resurrection will not appear in his image. Those that come up in the first resurrection will appear in his image. Amen. So meat. It says this, what else? Fair, fit, good, just, happy, supposed to make you happy, proper, reconciled, right, suitable, timely. There it is. So this is what this means, but we got this. This is what, it's not a bad thing that he called her help me, you know, and that's exactly what it is. These are blessings, man. When you look at it, they all have been real blessings when you look at it in the grand scheme of things. So now we're not really, we cover that throughout the month, man, to show that our mothers lived up to these standards. You know, they lived up to these things. They lived up to these qualities that God gave them. And even though being made in the flesh and they have Genesis 3:16 looming over their head, they still overcame the flesh and are strived to be what we call virtuous women in the world. And they proved it. And we got proof because we read it. So now, what is the thing that they had to overcome? Well, that would be this, Genesis 3:16. So, we're not getting all off into the story of the serpent and everything like that because we know he deceived the world and he deceived Adam. They both ate the fruit, right? Okay. We're getting into the judgment. So let's get into the judgment of the woman, right? And it's this, Genesis 3:16. Now, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, this didn't exist before sin, before they ate of the fruit. So this is like the aftermath of what brought sin into the world. So we have to look at this because this constitutes a lot of reasons why there's going to be a women in the lake of fire. It's going to be a reason why there's a sin in the world. You know, and that we all born in sin because of this. This is the reason why we have this mania in the world right now. You know, what we call sorrow. You know, we call it stress, depression. You know, people taking pharmaceuticals just to overcome it, you know. But it's this thing. You know, older these generations get, I guess, the weaker the Constitution become. I don't know. It's something happening that people need pharmaceuticals just to get through these things nowadays. Where back in the day, they just trusted in morals, you know, and the Word of God. But I guess if you don't trust in the Word of God, then you're going to need pharmaceuticals to overcome your sins and the choices that you make. Because every one of us have a conscience. And the only reason why you're either doing drugs or drinking is because of your conscience. This is that thing. So anyway, let's get back to this. Genesis chapters 3 and 16, let's break it down. He said, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly, that's one, multiply thy sorrow compared to who? Anybody else here but Adam. So I'm going to greatly, whatever going on with you is going to be way more than Adam. I'm going to greatly... Let's look this word up, right? So that when you're going through a thing, Adam ain't going to be going through this with you. He's just going to have to understand what you're going through. Just like we'll never understand what it's like to bring forth a child or labor pain. But we can help you get through it, you know, with breathing exercises, right? Anyway, this thing greatly. It says this, abundantly, considerably. By much. So it's going to, I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrows considering more than Adam's. He's not going to be feeling what you feel. He's not going to go through what you go through. His mindset is not going to be your mindset when it comes to dealing with certain things. You know, you got two different emotional let's use Abel as an example. You got two different responses when Abel died. You had Eve response, and then you had Adam response. You know, the same thing as when you have a funeral. You know, you have the mother response, and then you have the father response. They're totally different. But for the most part, you would pick this up. I would greatly multiply thy sorrow compared to the husband, while he's the one that's trying to console her and being the strength of the situation. Case in point. So this is that thing. This is in the law. It's not permanent. It's not permanent because the minute we come up in the resurrection, this is done away with. Okay? The minute you come up in the resurrection, this is done away with. So this is not something that's there. This is, you know, it's not permanent. So it says, I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrow. So it says this, greatly, abundance, much, concupiscently, immensely, emphatically, enormously, exceedingly, exceptionally, extremely, famously, highly, hugely, immeasurably, incalculability. You can't even be able to calculate. It's incalculable. The measure that he said that he's going to greatly pronounce upon a woman is going to be, you ain't going to be able to calculate it concerning how it is to another man. Why? Because all of us are different. So that's an impossibility to get a general, to even get an accurate response to this thing. All we know is that this is a spirit, and he called it greatly. He said, greatly multiply. He said, greatly. He said, most, much, notably, supremely, powerfully, very much, enormously, tremendously, remarkably, large scale, on a large scale, much, indeed, infinitely, you know. So this is that thing. So this is what's going on here. The woman is going through this thing that he called greatly. And Adam isn't going to go through that with her. And this is the biggest conversation among those that, even in the word and those that's not in the word, when women is being affected by this madness, which is a madness, right? They wasn't born with it. They wasn't created with it. They were born with it. They wasn't created with it. So when this madness come, two things supposed to happen. One, they're both supposed to recognize it. Two, they're supposed to go into prayer concerning it, right? But if you don't know what it is, then it's hard to go into prayer to overcome it. So this is part of the reason of knowing and accepting that these things do take place, so that when these things happen, both the man dealing with his wife as the weaker vessel, as we see here, right? And she's also understanding that they both need each other to overcome these things. You see, this is that, right? So that's there. So we have to assume, or we will assume, that our mothers had great support in overcoming these things, right? Let's look at this a little further. He said, let's pick it up at the top. He said, and unto the woman I will greatly multiply. So now we got multiply on top of great. Right? So it says this. Multiply. Increase. I would greatly increase, build up, compound, double, enlarge, expand, extend, heighten, magnify, manifold, mount, populate, produce, raise, spread, so forth. Amazing. This is that thing, right? So whatever problem you're going through, you already said I'm going to multiply. Not only did he just make it, said it's great, I'm gonna put numbers on it that's more than a man. Not only I'm going to make it bigger than his problems, I'm going to make more of them compared to his, right? This is a part of the sin thing. So, I mean, not to be taken it well, as a woman, I can't take it personal. Because this is my heel, right? This is my you know, my ground zero, whereas I can learn to overcome what I'm going through when it's happening, because now I know what it is. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into, let's go back to this Genesis chapter 3:16. It says this: I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. So whatever sorrow you're dealing with, God said he's going to make it way worse than what Adam dealing with. That's why when you go to, like we just got to addressing, like being in a funeral, you got a father and a mother, right? And like Eve had to bury Abel, you had two different emotions going on here. You had the father and you had the mother. Well, the father emotion is this: I'm make sure, you know, that my wife don't lose her mind, and I'm going to be a support for her, and I'm going to be the strength for her. She is the what? Weaker vessel. This is that thing, right? And this is expected, and it should be expected, you know, on that wise. So he said, I'm going to greatly multiply thy sorrow, what it is, trouble, bad news, anguish, agony, blues, dejection, depression, distress, grieving, hardship, heartache, heartbreak, lamenting, misery, mourning pains, regret, remorse, repentance, rue, sadness, sufferings, trial, tribulations, trouble, unhappiness, weeping, woes, worry, wretchedness. So he said, I'm going to apply that more so onto you, woman. You're going to regret more than a man, because a woman has a lot to lose, you know, when it comes to her self, you know, respect and dignity, so to say, without adding pride into that, but just self-respect or moral, they have a lot to lose, you know. And so this standard of Eve is way up the food chain, man. When you look at that Genesis 2:18, that's almost, man, like that's just, man, nunship with a man. You know, it's like being a nun with a man. You know what I mean? Not saying that, you know, you're all corny and drab and everything, because the book said that the women of our mothers dressed, they were beautifully arrayed. They sat among kings. They didn't sit around looking like they was in sackcloth and garbage bags and stuff like that. It wasn't like that. They were queens in the creation. So this thing here about, you know, I'm greatly multiplied our sorrow, this is a spiritual thing. It says, big trouble, grieving, hardship, heartache, lamenting, melancholy. What is this? This says wretchedness, dejected, depressed, doleful, full of sorrow, grievous, heartbroken. You know, man could go through a heartbreak, you know, but how many times a woman been heartbroken by a man and trusted him to get through what? I mean, I'm talking toward the first century woman, you know. You really supposed to only have one in a lifetime, but in this 21st century, well, that's not really a reality. The reality is that more women have more than one sexual partners, and they've been in a relationship with emotions more than once. And so they experience heartbreak more than once. This is the one, no, it ain't. This is one, or it ain't. This is one, or it ain't. It's called heartbreak. So he said you was going to experience those things. These things is in the law. And it's all because of sin, you know. Hey, we brought it on ourselves, so it is what it is. I ain't saying you got to shut up and like it, but it is what it is, you know. We can't blame God for it, you know. I mean, everybody want to blame God for what's going on in the world, but nobody want to give up free choice or free will. You know, you give up, you know, hey, if you give up free choice, free will, then there's no judgment. Exactly. So, I mean, you can't have one without the other. You know, you want free will, it's a judgment. If you don't want free will, you want to be a robot, then there's no judgment. Case in point. Anyway, so that's that thing. So I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrows, right? Whatever that may be, whatever you may be going through, woman. Eve, excuse me, whatever that may be. You may be going through something now, you know, that your husband is not going through. You asking God, why am I going through this? And how come you don't understand? Well, now you know. And if he don't know, then it's a good thing. You know, maybe it'd be good to go and get a book and say, hey, this is really what's happening with me. I'm not crazy. I'm having that Genesis 3:16. And this is what God has revealed to me. And he opened his book and he started breaking down these similar words that God said that this was going to happen. And he said, well, this is it. Now I need you to cover me when I'm going through this. I don't want you to run off thinking there's something out there better, because it's not, because it's on all women, right? So what you need to do is cover me when I'm going through this, because it's not going to last forever. And that's it. And then work on it sincerely, you know. So it says this. Where was I? Genesis chapter 3 and 16, it said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow shall I bring forth children. Let's look up conception. And sorrow, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Now, conception, people, I used to think, you know, was had everything to do with having children, but if children is like a third, maybe a fourth, you know, generation of really what this word means. Conception is spiritual, and yeah, it do have something to do with children, you know, but it's not, that's not the meat of what's going on here. This right here is completely spiritual. It says concept. It says idea, abstraction, apprehension, approach, big idea. So she's going to have a problem with a big idea or an approach or apprehension or something or an idea, a brainwave, conception, computerization, consideration, hypothesis, image, impression, intelligence, okay, notion, perception, slant, supposition, theory, thought, view, appreciation, clue, communion, comprehension, concept, consideration, deliberating, design, explanation, exposition, image, inkling, interpretation, meditation, mental grasp, picture, representation, speculation, and thought versions. So this is that thing. So conception is this. So it has everything to do with a woman having more of an issue of coming together with their thoughts. Now, it's not a bad thing. I mean, it is a bad thing because it wasn't that way in the beginning. But this is the thing, how we men view our wives as the weaker vessel, because we know that in our mind of God and in God's eyes, we exactly this to him. We are these things. We are the weaker vessel. And that he's dealing with us according to knowledge as the weaker vessel. So by law, with understanding of those things, we do understand what our wives is going through when it comes to this conception. What do you mean? Well, we can understand why there may be a lack of appreciation, you know, in some things. But it did say she would have a problem with that. It says she would have a problem with notions or perception or theory or thought or view or comprehension or concept, you know, or maybe even giving an explanation or, you know, deliberating, you know, putting our thoughts together to bring a point across, you know, because a lot of times, you know, I got my aunts and my wife and my daughters and things like that that I've listened to, And when we have a real serious conversations, and I listen, and the difference in the flow and thought patterns are two different flows when I'm dealing with my sons and then when I'm dealing with my girls. You know, it's a difference. So we have to recognize that. You know, then we have to be patient, you know, with that, because some women think pretty fast on the feet. You know, they think fast, they quick. You know, but then there's the other women that may have this pretty bad, that conception thing, it may not be as fast, you know, or as quick. And you explain yourself over and over and over again, and they may not get it for years, you know. I mean, never, you know, but God, you know, God willing, this is what prayer is about. This is what you call dwelling with her as the weaker vessel. This is that thing that we know that it's some things she may not be able to comprehend. It's just like we know that some things we're not going to be able to comprehend in the Word of God. Same thing. Same conversation. You know. So this is that thing. This is conception. Concept. You know, and it has somewhat to do with childbearing, because without the spirit of conception, then the door of a child wouldn't be there. Why? Because God said he's seeking a godly seed. He's looking through the spirit, not the flesh. So let's read this again. That's in Malachi, right? Malachi chapter 2. It says this, Genesis chapter 3 and 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shall I bring forth children. Well, there you have it, right? The first one. The first one is, the first one would be Abel, right? And Sarah would say, you bring four children. Why? Because she lost two children at one time. She lost Cain through murder, and she lost Abel through murder and Cain through this inheritance. This is that thing. She lost two children at once. And that was just this thing. Well, what am I trying to say here? That was that bringing forth children in sorrow, you know. Now, because of sin in the picture, you got children going into the penal institution, and you probably never see them again on the other side of these walls. That's part of that sorrow. And both men and women handled it differently. You got one that's handling it really bad, and another one that's handling it, but handling it a little better than the other one, you know. More times than not, it's the father that's handling it a little better than the mother, because this law is in the mother, not the father. And sorrow, so you bring forth your children. And some of your children is gonna not gonna live out a full life. Some children won't live a full life, so to say. You know, some are born with defects and things like that. You know, once again, bring forth children in sorrows, and things like that. This is all a part of the law of what Eve, you put on Eve. So we do have children that's born, you know, premature. We do have children that's born dead. We do have children that's born mentally ill and deformed and stuff like that. That's all in the law. What do you mean? What's wrong with the child? Now, instead of the woman rejoicing that she got a beautiful, healthy child, sorrow kicked in because of sin, because of the law. Those things. So this is that. So we have to be conscious of that. Then you have those things that we look at, murders, right? You got a child that may have been murdered by another child, or like Cain and Abel, by his own sibling, or by a predator or something, you know, whatever the case may be. This is that thing that it's in the law. It's just written in the law that these things will happen. So we understand that for a fact, you know, that that's exactly what he was referring to when he was, well, not exactly, but it was so much more. I can't carte blanche. I can't cage the mind of God. I can only open the door to some of the things that he revealed to me, and I can't even open the things that he revealed to others. You know, even the things that I learned in my and coming up in the class and at the class that I grew up in, Israel of God, the things that I learned there, I could teach a lot of them things, but truth be told, I was taught those things so that he could teach me these things. You see? So I shouldn't be wasting my time on things that I know I know. I should be focusing on the things that he's trying to reveal to me, you know, that's in there. Or hopefully just having a clear head and mind that I can see them, you know. But anyway, that's that, right? So Genesis 3:16, unto woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception, and sorrow shall to bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Well, desire, that's another thing. If your desire to your husband, that's part of that Genesis 3:16. That's part of that weaker vessel thing, you know, because it wasn't there before sin. And it's almost like, you know, it's almost like it's a good thing, but it's a bad thing. Well, one is, he said, your desire is going to be to your husband. That's before God. He took himself out the picture. Your desire is going to be to him, you know. And that's exactly what it is. It's why you can take a woman that's been in the Word and she can meet a guy in the world, and she will follow him into the world. He's like, man, you know, you wasn't eating all that. You wasn't eating pork and all that stuff and this, that, and the other, but now you eat it. Like, well, that ain't important to me anymore. You know, she conformed into her husband, as the law said. She was going to conform into him. This is that thing. This is why you have to make sure that if you're going to find a husband, he's going to be the closest thing to God, or, you know, however you want your children raised up, you better make sure that's the way you want to raise up. You don't want something that you don't want around. And that's a jump off. Well, anyway, desire, right? So anyway, let's look this word up. Desire, because this is the God of Israel. He said that this thing was going to be on the women and not the man. You know, I can say what you want to say, put this how me any way you want to, but the law is that the desire is supposed to be to the husband and not to the wife. And a husband is supposed to love his wife, you see. So you got two different conversations, and there's no way you can equate the two together. When you do, that's when confusion come in, and that's when sin come in. That's when confrontation and arguments take place, because it's unlawful for man to be in his mindset. It says this. It says, want, longing, admiration, ambition, appetite. So she got an appetite for you. She got ambitions for you. She want you, right? She adore you. She's attracted to you. She craves for you. She's devoted to you. She have a fever for you. What else it says? A liking, lasciviousness, lecherness, love, lust, mania, motive, need, passion, relish, ravenous, thirst, urge, a will, and a wish, and a yearning for you. The husband, not anybody else. Anything to that effect, she shouldn't even be having a desire to even hear anybody other voice, another man's voice, concerning things that belong to them, you know, that's personal and intimate and such. So this is that thing. Her desire is going to be to you, and she won't hear anybody else. Just like Jesus said, you know, my sheep hear my voice. It won't listen to another, you know. So that's that. Answer to a lot of questions out there Now you know. So this is that thing. So we see here, her desire is going to be to her husband. If her desire is into a husband, that is not his wife. She's tainted. Something's wrong with that picture. Ain't nowhere in the world you can justify not this law. You can't justify that. You can't get around that. You know, the only way your desire is into your husband is that somebody else is in your ear. That's it. Or, no, that's it. Unless he did something to you that did something that changed this whole mindset. You know, but that's something else. But any your desire being to somebody else, nope, that's not the law. It don't work that way. It does not work that way. Let's see. Let's see if it worked that way. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's see if there's any room for it. It says, okay, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. We're done with this Genesis chapter 3 and 16 right here. And there it is. So, no, your own husband, nobody else, you know. We all have teachers, and then we got a teacher, and then at the end of that story, we both seen it, you know, we both got teachers, or that's that, and that's that, you know. But her desire is supposed to be to you, and this is she's supposed to be submitted to you and you alone. If she's not, that's not your wife. It's just that simple. She's everybody's. That's all to it. You know, so ain't no claiming nothing on something that don't belong to you personally and is willing to share themselves regardless. So how would you claim anything like that? You don't. You know, you let it be what it is. Right? So it is, it says, so wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Can you imagine? We're going to bring Easter and Christmas onto the Lord, right? Okay. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. Well, whatever that may mean to you, as Christ is the head of the church, that's what the husband is supposed to represent. Right? He represents the food, the water, the clothes, the raiment, and the spiritual counsel. That's all to it. If those things don't exist, he isn't the one. Or you're living a lie. You're not married, you know, because these things are broken. All this is just broke up. This is why I say this 21st century relationship, we got to get back to the core of it. We got to get back to the core, you know. We got to strip all this nonsense down. We got to separate all our faults and everything that we had, everything to do with to destroy the kingdom. Let alone your marriage and your family, but the kingdom. And then just maybe God will have mercy and turn around the rest. But right here, we got to take it right to the core. We got to start back at square block one. And that's in Genesis 3:16 when it wasn't nothing else but that man and his wife. And it said, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husband and what? Everything? Everything. So, that's the law, you know. Self-explanatory, man, women, if you're not in subjection to your husband and everything, you sin against God. And you're not going to sin. You won't. I'm just going to tell you flat out, you won't sin. That's the end of your story because you won't be subjected unto the King of Kings. If you won't be subjected onto your own husband, you won't be subjected onto his law. And if you're not subjected onto your own husband, you're not subjected onto his law, so you won't see him. You will not see the kingdom. You will not see the borders. You will not meet the Father. All because you were not subjected to your own husband. Ain't no loopholes here. None. The law is your desire is going to be to your husband. No loopholes. No loopholes there. Ain't not a one. If God ain't in it, ain't no loopholes in it. God ain't in it. If God ain't in it, God ain't in it. It's just a waste of time. He ain't in it. What else it says? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, what would a husband do to love his wife? Well, to make sure that first he understand the word of God, teach her the word of God, that she may be saved and not end up in a fire. The other thing is, you make sure she got a house, clothes, transportation, and food and raiment. And the trickle down theory would be to the children. Same thing. That's what Christ do. He made sure the house, the church, had those things that supply and the need for everybody that's involved. 26, that he may sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the word. That's what the husband's supposed to bring to the word of God. And if the husband's bringing the word of God, then the wife is submitted to her own husband as in the Lord. If no, then well, we already know what that is. So let's see. So he said, by the washing of the water by the word. You know, so he's supposed to be in a position that he can wash the house of the family and their children with the word of God. Case in point, that he may sanctify and cleanse by the winter of washing of the word, by the wash with it, with the water, with the start over, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 27, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing that it should be holy and without blemish. So our men to love their wives as their own body. See, same thing. Men ought to teach their wives how to serve God. Now, if your wives are disobedient, will not listen to you, and will listen to somebody else, then that's not your wife. She's everybody's. That's how it works. He said, be in subjection to your own husband. If she's not in subjection to you, then she's everybody's. Do not get that confused. He that loveth his own wife loveth himself, for no man ever had yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord loved the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. See, that's the other thing. We got to ask our question. We got to ask this question. Did Sarah listen to her own husband? Yeah. Rebecca? Yeah. Leah, Rachel? Leah did. Rachel had other idols in her head. In fact, she had a lot of idols working out there. She even stole some idols. So that's a question. Miriam, not married, right? Okay. All right, well, let's just say, yeah, those three there, yeah. Off the top, hands down, right? They listen to their own husbands, right? For this cause, a man leaves his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they should be called one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak this concerning Christ in the church. Why? Because he's going to come from heaven, and he's going to be joined with his wife, and he's going to be dwell with her forever. He's going to leave the Father, which is in heaven, come down to the planet and be with his wife. Case in point, right? And we're going to approach him like Esther approached Ahasuerus. And Ahasuerus, God is going to make a declaration just like he did in the days of Ahasuerus, and that every man should rule in his own house. That every man should rule in his own house. It's like in Ahasuerus there with Esther. It's going to be the same thing all over. So we might as well get it done now, because you're not going to fix it then. It won't be no fixing it then. If you can't fix it now, you won't see it. Just like if I can't fix what I'm dealing with now, I won't see it. So same situation. So like our brothers got out issues, whatever it is maybe. If we don't fix it, we won't see the kingdom. Just like the sisters, if you don't get it worked out, you won't see the kingdom. Ain't nothing else to it. Okay? This is your bar, your standard where they are supposed to be at. And this woman, she asked, you know, me, why would I do that? But I did. I said, and I didn't just ask. I asked a couple of really, 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 really close sisters. I said, what did you think of? How do you feel about this Black History precept? And I got different opinions. But the first one I got, was that I was really proud of you. I said, now that's what I really want to hear, because that's exactly what I was trying to do. You know, and this, the other pen I got in that, how can a man teach a woman about anything? Well, in my mind, if God wanted somebody else to teach it, then he would have gave it to somebody else. Case in point. I mean, that's proof in the pudding, right? Okay. So there it rested right there. So it says, for it's a great mystery, right? So God is going to be in New Jerusalem, come down and be with his wife on the planet. And so this is a great mystery concerning Christ and his church. Nevertheless, let every one of you particularly so love his wife, even as himself, and that the wife see that she reverence her husband. Fear. Reverence her husband. Fear. This is that thing. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 and 16. And let's see, the last part is this. It says, and unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception and sorrows. And some women, after reading this, couldn't conceive the fact that this is on women, even though they go through it all the time. That's how bad the conception part is, you know, and it is what it is. It's the law. I can't make this stuff up. I'm only reading it. And with this definition, this dictionary, it just proved it. So, I mean, don't kill the messenger. I didn't write this stuff. So it says this. And on to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And sorrow shall I bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee. And on to Adam, he shall rule over thee. Now, what do rule mean? Obviously, this is another thing that falls up under the weaker vessel, because there was no such thing. Well, we didn't hear the law. He will rule over you. We heard the law that she was going to be an assistant, not ruled over. She was going to be an assistant. Right? Okay. Big difference. It's a difference when you have an assistant and somebody you're ruling, you know. All right. Rule. Because an assistant don't fall under this. They only help. They help. Rule. And it's this. It says, authority, administration, control, command, direction. So he's in command of the situation. He's in control of the situation. He's in authority of the situation. What do you mean, situation of marriage? He's in command of the marriage. He's the authority of the marriage. And he's in control of the marriage. And 21st century say, no, he isn't. The law say, yes, he is. Now, we can go with the 21st century or we can roll with the law. The law will bring you happiness. The 21st century ain't going to do nothing but bring you grief, not only to you, but to your children. Now, that's just all we need to really consider. It says dominion, empire, government, influence, so power. Reign, sovereignty, supremacy, sway. So he's given the power, the government. What do you mean? I'm gonna set the direction. It says this. It says in the driver's seat, conduct, control. So I control the conduct of the house. You know, things like that. What goes on in the house? How the children supposed to act when? How the children supposed to eat and sleep and you know, come and go. How the men supposed to act, how the girls supposed to act, how the men supposed to dress, how the women supposed to dress. All these things. It says direct, dominate, guide, you know, so he's a guide. Lay down the law. He can overrule. You know, something that's like, if Eve decides to put something out there, you can overrule it. You know, order, Lee, he set the order. You know, we're going to keep Sabbaths. We're not going to eat pork, things like that. He set the order. Restrain, run, sway, take over, right? And in some cases, those things are what they are. You know, got some men, you know, they get with a woman, and the woman just, you know, she's submitting. He takes over and continue to lead her and her family, or her, if she don't have one, continue to lead her in this life, hopefully into the kingdom. That's the whole, that's the big game of all this, the end game, that we all end up in the kingdom. So this is that thing. So out of this, Genesis 3:16 comes the weakest and the worstest part of women. Now, mind you, a virtuous woman don't come out of Genesis 3:16. A prudent woman don't come out of a Genesis 3:16. A chaste woman don't come from Genesis 3:16. What comes from Genesis 3:16 is the weakest and the lowest forms of women. It's just that simple. Your worst self is Genesis 3:16. Don't defend it. Because if you defend it, you're saying that that's a good place to be, and it's not. If you have these issues and you have a problem dealing with them, and you feel the need to defend it, you really need to get with God. That's a big problem. That's a really big problem, to defend sin and say, I ain't got no problem with what I'm doing. Okay. All right, well, that's all in it. You know, or you can ask help to get through it, right? So this is that thing. What do you mean? This is your worst you. This is where fornication comes from. This is where adultery comes from. This is where lying, stealing, everything comes from. That, you know, even abortions and stuff like that, all that comes from out of that Genesis 3:16, you know. You don't want that. I mean, it's there. It was in all our mothers, man. It was in Eve. She's still going to get into the kingdom. It was in Sarah. She's still getting in. It was in Rebecca. She's still getting in. It was in Leah. She's getting in. And so forth. These are those things, you know. Rachel. Miriam. You know, they're getting in. The thing is, did they let it overrule them that it became the best of them? It became the best of them. Yeah, Genesis 3:16 become the best of them versus Genesis 2:18 being the best of them. Amen. So right now, you know, the reason why we're back to this again is to make sure and to reiterate that in order to reach the plateaus of the mothers that we did discuss, you have to overcome the weakness that's in you, and that is Genesis 3:16. And the first place of overcoming it would be to admit that it's there, confess it, and then go from there. Amen. So, once again, I want to thank everybody, man, for you know, hanging in and visiting and tuning in to this Black Hebrew Women History Month. I'm still getting that out because I've never done this, but I've been saying it all month long. I'm still trying to get it out. Black Hebrew Women History Month. Now, we want to thank everybody for participating, listening, and giving us your input and things like that. We really love the inboxes, and please forgive me. No, I'm not opening up the mics. Like, no, not like that. That's not going to happen. Anyway, so with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edified someone. And God willing, we live. We'll be able to visit this time next year, probably with something even more to add to these things. So with that being said, we thank you for your time, man. God bless our mothers and all of them that came before us. In fact, let's pray for them and pray for their works. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for allowing us to see the difference between a virtuous woman and a clamorous woman. We want to thank you for showing us that our mothers that was before you were righteous women and beautiful and smart and intelligent and understanding and full of wisdom and well dressed and not just look good on the outside, but they were beautiful and humble women on the inside. And the law of kindness ran through their being. We thank you for allowing us to see their works. We thank you for allowing us to hear things that belong to them. And we thank you, Father, for sharing them with us. And God willing, we live, we hope to learn more about our sisters and that belongs to you in Christ, God in Christ. So in Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for these precepts. We thank you for Black History Month throughout and everybody that participated, not just here at the Sound of the Living Waters, but across the globe, getting this message out there. Israel is the people of God, and they're all coming home to you. Quick, fast, and a hurry. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for these precepts, and we hope that you continue to allow us to see these things. Amen. So, with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone, and as we say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, read your Bibles.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water.
Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.